From local to global, we bring you the best conversations with your favorite athletes and Olympians.
This is the Olympics.com podcast.
Welcome to this 34th episode of the Olympics.com podcast. Can't believe we've been going for more than a year. Certainly appreciate you all being out there. Springtime's here, and what a start to this 2024 Olympic year. I just finished doing commentary on an exciting and dramatic World Olympic Boxing Qualifier, where boxers earned another 49 quota spots for the Paris 2024 Olympic Boxing Tournament. Final spots will be earned at the second World Qualifier in Bangkok in May. Still to come, two amazing Olympic qualifiers in BMX freestyle, skateboarding, sport climbing, and breaking. But hey, spots in the Paris Olympic party are quickly dwindling, so you can feel the urgency. Right now, we're delighted to bring you an exciting new face in the world weightlifting universe and about to make likely her first Olympics.
For me, it's confidence and seeing myself make the lift and knowing that I can do that and having a feel for it. So sometimes I'll have numbers I want to hit in a competition or a place I want to end up. Then I can visualize myself making the lift.
She's soon to be 21-year-old American Olivia Reeves, reigning Pan Am Games champion in the 81-kilogram weight class, a bronze medalist at the 2023 World Championships at 71 kilos. I got a chance to see Olivia work while I was doing commentary recently, and she was dominant in her weight class, easily the best there at 71 kilograms, and a likely lock to earn a quota spot for Paris 2024 with Team USA, since Olivia's ranked number two in the world at 71 kilos. Recently, our Scott Bregman had a chance to talk to Olivia about all she has on her plate headed to Paris 2024, starting at the beginning, the nuts and bolts of weights, and the smooth transition from CrossFit to weightlifting.
So my parents actually owned a CrossFit gym, and through that, they knew coaches in the area. And so Steve, my coach, would come and do like a seminar specifically for Olympic weightlifting. And I was doing CrossFit Kids at the time. And if I had done that and then done all my homework and stuff, my mom would let me sit in on the class and lift. And through that, I just started going to Steve's three times a week and kind of snowballed into doing a couple weightlifting competitions. Then going to a national meet, I got second place at my first nationals and invited to a training camp at the Olympic Training Center and was like, man, all right, I think I'll stick with this more than CrossFit.
Yeah. How long into that process did you kind of start to think, oh, I'm enjoying this. Maybe let's keep pushing with this.
I mean, right off the bat, in CrossFit, I loved the lifting portion. I liked the part where we would just max out whatever lift. And then getting to do that, like, and train that through Olympic weightlifting, that was the best part for me.
Was it just super easy to switch over to CrossFit, or was there something that you thought, oh gosh, this was like a lot harder than I thought it was going to be?
I would say pretty easy. I'm not a fan of cardio or running. So the fact that that's not in weightlifting was a big, just like, man, why don't I do this all the time? I don't have to run. All right. I was pretty much sold right off the bat.
Yeah. What was sort of the most difficult part of, you know, becoming a competitive weightlifter for you?
For the most difficult part, just realizing that this is now something that I'm good at, acknowledging that and realizing that when you train day to day and you see like one day I'm going to lift one more kilo, and you keep going until you look back and realize that you're pretty good at that. It's difficult to kind of align that sometimes of how good you can be when you're just looking at it day to day.
Yeah. How hard is it to kind of, increase those goals? And because I'm sure it could be sort of in a lot of ways monotonous, just day over day over. You're like you said, you're increasing 1 kilogram at a time. Like, how do you kind of stay motivated and pushing in that?
That's tough. I think it's a lot of it comes from the environment of what you train. Some people train by themselves. I've done my fair share of remote training, and it's not that fun. So having a gym, having a coach and a community that you really like and can engage with and compete with, not necessarily pound for pound, but like if you're doing percentage work or something like that, you can still compete and have fun in training. That's my biggest thing. I have fun, and that makes this whole process relatively easy.
What do your parents think, you know, since you, well, I don't know, maybe you still go into the CrossFit gym, but what do you think sort of having moved away from that?
They're pretty excited. My sister also lifts too. She competes nationally and has done an international one as well. So they're excited. I think it's cool that they have the CrossFit and sort of a weightlifting background because they really understand, they know how the sport works. I don't have to, you know, explain how a competition works. Like they get it and they understand all of that. So I think it's cool to have them be so understanding.
I think you started the sport kind of around 2016, probably around the Olympics then. So I'm wondering if you watched the weightlifting competition in Brazil and if you had any, you know, impressions from watching that.
I did. I started 2015 and almost a year later was the 2016 Olympics. And I remember I'd actually gotten back from the OTC training camp and I was watching, I think Morgan King and maybe Jenny Arthur on the 2016, like on the stage. And I was watching it and I was texting my friends and like telling them what they were doing that because we had just gotten back and some of them were actually still in Colorado. But I remember watching that and to think that like that could be me or like, yeah, is kind of, it's kind of crazy.
I mean, obviously you're right in the mix with a lot of people, you know, a lot of really accomplished lifters. How does that make you feel? I mean, you're the youngest one of this sort of trio that's pushing for your weight class.
It's interesting. Sometimes it's a little difficult, especially when everybody's older. Everybody has a lot more experience. This is not their first Olympics. This is not their first go around dealing with other competitors. So in that aspect, I feel sort of at a disadvantage. But then again, being a younger athlete, I have less years, miles on me, as people say, sometimes coming from a different sport, such as gymnastics, even though they're not super old, like they're 24, 25, they feel, their body feels really old just with all that they have had to do with their sports. And I don't feel that way. And I feel in that way, it's an advantage. But, you know, sometimes it's a struggle when you're dealing with people who are Olympians and have medaled at the Olympics. It's crazy to think you're competing with them.
Do you think also given your youth that like there's maybe in some ways less pressure, you could try again, you have a few more, is that playing on your mind at all?
Definitely, but you know, there's always going to be someone younger and better, so there'll be a day when I'm in the position that everybody else is in where it's like, well, do I'm still kind of good, but like somebody is beating me, they are younger, so you know, it'll happen, I'm sure.
That's for sure. That's the way of life. How much does the fact that it's a really competitive spot amongst your fellow Americans, how much does that push you when you're competing, when you're training?
Just pushes me to be better. As cliche as that sounds, I want to be the best that I can be, kind of so happens to be the best in my weight class. And even if I am the best in my weight class, I still feel like I could do more in the sport, lift more weight, do more things. And so I think that that kind of drives me overall.
You obviously had such a strong 2023, a world medal, the gold medal at the Pan Am Games. What did you take away from that season, those accomplishments?
2023 was a year of competing. I think I competed 6 times. And in weightlifting, you don't compete more than like maybe 2 times a year. Like it's not, that was a lot of competing. And the fact that I was training, competing back and forth, I can still make progress and I can still do that regardless of what weight class I'm in. I'm still on an upward slope trajectory. And that's encouraging knowing that going for 6 for 6 day and making all my lifts and at the end being like, you know what, I could have added 2 or 3 more kilos. And then going to the next competition, knowing that, is helpful. Going into training, knowing that is helpful to be like, I can make my opener, I can make that my last warm up and just kind of keep going and seeing like the smaller wins when you compete so often.
Why do weightlifters only compete a couple times a year? And why did you make the choice to compete, you know, 3 times that amount?
Well, so for the Olympic qualifiers, it's the qualifying period was December 2022 to May 2024. And in that time, you have to compete 5 times of the 7 competitions. So I did that in addition to a couple more because you don't have to do all seven, but if you go to all seven, you have a better chance of like moving your OQR, your ranking up. So if I can go to all seven, which at this point I'm going to go to all seven, is kind of ideal what you want to do. Usually weightlifters, it's just a long time. You want to train for a long time and get into volume and get better and better and then kind of peak at a certain point. And usually there's only like, there's a couple American Open competitions and there's like one nationals. And then if you make international, there's a world team and a Pan Am team. And because it's an Olympic qualifier, they've added more like World Cup and Grand Prix to go to. So I don't think it would be my choice to compete that often all the time. I don't think it's anybody's choice to. It worked out well for me. It doesn't work out for everybody. It's just the way the year had to be kind of deal.
Yeah. Have you talked to any of your competitors or other coaches who think like or that have like think that your schedule's like kind of crazy or like are, you know, impressed that you're able to kind of pull that off?
Definitely. I am also a full-time student at University of Tennessee in Chattanooga. So doing this and lifting, I also, my training program is a little bit different. I train four times a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. And that's how I've been doing it for the past couple of years. Usually at this level, you hear people training 6 to 9 sessions. What a session is doesn't exactly have to be like a snatch, a clean and jerk, however they want to break it up. But they're in the gym, I would argue, a lot longer than I am. I don't have really the time to do that. And just trying to balance school with my training, with going traveling so often is a lot sometimes.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, so in addition to like, you know, some of the other things we already talked about with your season in 2023, you had some big American records, especially right at the end of the year. So tell me how, you know, how setting those records made you feel, I guess.
Yes, those are my favorite lifts, I think, of my career at the moment. So in Doha, that was in December, I reset all the junior world records for my weight class. And junior world records and those American records, senior, junior, it was a lot of stuff. I actually held the clean and jerk record when in Saudi Arabia in September. And my goal, because that would be 2023 was my last year as a junior. So the next year I turned 21. The junior category is 20 and under. And so that was my goal, was to set them all. And I only did the clean and jerk in Saudi Arabia. So in Doha, I was like, maybe I move my Olympic ranking up. Maybe I don't. I just want all the records. And that's what I did.
What goes into a lift that lets you, you know, push those boundaries and break those records?
Confidence. Having an understanding, just having a good training cycle sometimes doesn't even matter, but the confidence that you build within your training, within your warm-ups, within with your coach, with the people who are back there. So for me, it's Steve, my coach, and then Piros Dimas, and Micah Tone, who also help count cards, you know, with other Team USA athletes that are back there. Confidence in them that I understand that they're not going to put a weight on the bar that I can't do. And making your first attempt, making your second attempt, builds you up for that third attempt. And seeing how those go and knowing and not thinking about the weight so much. For me, it's less like just, it's more do a clean and jerk, do a snatch. It's less, I have to do a 147 clean and jerk, because then that just like, it's too heavy to think about it like that.
Where would you put like how you're lifting now and when you were lifted when you set those records compared to like a perfect lift to where you want to be, you know, say in Paris?
I would say I'd like to think I'm getting closer to it, but the 147 was pretty good. But also being able to break it down and understand that, you know, my technique was a little off here. This is something we can fix. And even though I made 147, it was a good lift. Like there's things I can do to make, to help me make 150 and then 51 and things like that. So just breaking it down, understanding that that was a good lift, but I can do better.
When you break down your lift, what kinds of things are you seeing that you're like, oh, I need to focus on that?
For clean and jerk specifically, sometimes in the clean, one of my heels will come up too early and it's like kind of puts me off balance a little bit. It means I'm putting like one, there's an imbalance somewhere in my lift, which is like kind of typical. Everybody has one side stronger than the other, but that's something. Number two, in the jerk, sometimes the bar will come back down. Like my feet will be split. I'll be holding it and the bar is coming down. And that's not really stable. And I can't, if it's like 150, I can't hold it like that. The 147 didn't drop a whole lot, but that's just something I'm working on with my technique that we're looking for. When the weight gets heavier, those issues kind of come out.
Yeah. I think, at least this is my impression, that like, because you're dealing with such massive amounts of weight, my impression is that like, you know, you're thinking about big changes, but I'm guessing it's actually sort of the opposite and like a little change. Can you just kind of break that down and how much like a small little change can make a huge difference?
Definitely. So the problem with making a big change is that as the weight gets heavier, you're resorting back to how you feel the most comfortable lifting. And if you're making a really big change, you can't really like lift heavy and try and make the change at the same time. So you want to start with something small and you want to be able to feel it. The first step to making a change is being able to feel the issue in the lift. So like I can tell when I get off my heels too early because I catch and the bar is like way behind me. And I've like, that's obviously I've done something wrong because I want to make the lift as efficient as possible so I can lift the most weight. So starting off with little things, you don't want to change big things because then it kind of messes what you have going on, messes it all up. So doing the little things to make it more efficient and you can feel like, oh my gosh, that was so much more solid. Yes, that's what I want to be doing. That's the feel that I want. And this is how I can change that. And it takes a long time. And the problem with competing so often is you can change something and then it could, you know, two steps back to get you three steps forward. Well, I don't have time to take two steps back. So that's kind of the issue when you're competing so much and for that big of a deal. But just like a normal athlete, you definitely always want to be making, just make your lifts the most efficient as it can be.
What's one thing you wish that people knew about your sport or about weightlifters sort of in general?
Weightlifting is fun. Weightlifting's fun. The people in it are not aggressive. I get a lot, like when I tell people I'm a weightlifter, they're like, oh my gosh, would not want to get in a fight with you. And I'm like, I don't know the first thing about fighting. But things like that, weightlifting isn't actually a really fun sport. And a lot of people use weightlifting to get better at other sports. Developing your strength and power is a big thing. People think powerlifting, not the same as weightlifting, kind of close, but not really. But it's actually really beneficial to all sports. And you don't have to have weightlifting as your sport. It can be something just supplemental for anything else you want to get better at.
Yeah. I'm sort of curious, I was going to ask about this anyway, and you just mentioned like how a lot of athletes will use weightlifting in their training. So I'm kind of wondering, and it's always like, oh, it's like off, you know, off the normal track of their sport, right? Because they're not on the field or not or whatever.
Yeah.
But for you, I'm kind of wondering the flip side, like what do you do outside of the weight room that helps your weightlifting?
I do a little bit of like recovery stuff. I love yoga. I'll go to hot yoga on Saturday or Sundays to kind of do a little active recovery, especially when in weightlifting, you're really moving in one plane. You don't do a lot of extra mobility. It takes a lot of mobility to do weightlifting, but once you've developed those movements, like there's nothing else really there. So I do a little bit of that. I've done, what else have I done? I've done like cupping and acupuncture and stuff like that for weightlifting. But other than that, I like outside of lifting is really just school and my dog. That's about it.
What kind of dog do you have?
Just a pit mix rescue.
How much does like nutrition and like mental prep go into your competitions?
A pretty big part, especially being a weight class sport, nutrition and what you're eating, that plays a big role. Some athletes, especially in the lighter weight classes, you see a lot of cutting just to get to their weight. My weight class is 71, so I sit like 72, 73. And usually that I can weigh in 71 on the day and it's not really an issue. So I'm not as meticulous with my diet as some people are or I should be. But usually about a month out, I'll reach out to the dietitian through USAW that they provide for any international athlete and start tracking my macros, start weighing myself in the morning, just to kind of get myself on track and usually end up right where I need to be.
And what about the mental part of it? I mean, obviously, like, it's something you've you lift these weights all the time, but in the moment, I'm sure it's a little different.
Yes, mental takes a big part in this too. I also reach out. There's a UCW also provides a sports psychologist that I'll talk to sometimes. But really, it's just for me, it's confidence and seeing myself make the lift and knowing that I can do that and having a feel for it. So sometimes I'll have numbers I want to hit in a competition or a place I want to end up. Then I can visualize myself making the lift and I can do it like of me doing it and like walking up to the chalk bucket and then putting my hands on the bar. Like I have a routine I've already established. I know how it's going to do. I know how I want it to look. Therefore, I only like visualize myself making lifts. You don't want to visualize not making lifts or any possible outcome besides that because I want it to be made. And then how to go from there and the next step. I just like having a plan. That's my big thing.
You obviously mentioned university or studies a couple of times. So can you just tell me kind of what you're studying and what you're hoping to do after school?
So I'm a junior. I'm studying sociology. I am set to graduate in December. My plan, I was exercise science up until like two semesters ago. My plan is to do something health related. I really like the study of human behavior along with illness in that kind of realm. I'm debating getting a master's in public health or going down that route. But I like the study of human behavior in a health realm is pretty much where I'm at the moment. I don't have any really set plans past that.
Yeah. Have you thought about how long you want to keep competing in weightlifting?
I would like to go through 2028. 2028 being a home Olympics in LA would be very cool. I've been to a couple, I went to the Pan American Games and seeing that in Chile and the environment of Chileans when they're like home country, their people are competing is crazy. And that was like a Pan American Games. Something that gets me pretty excited just for it to be like, my friends, my family can come and see this. And I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah. Okay. I think this is my last question. They're going to have a lot to tell me about this, but because you're so busy, I want to know what you do when you're not studying and when you're not weightlifting, but I'm guessing it's not too much.
Yeah, not too much. Hanging out with my sister maybe or my friends, but yeah, that's about it. I don't have a lot going on. I think that's also because I've definitely talked about this before. It's something that I struggle with is weightlifting becoming my identity and becoming just who I am. And I trying to identify myself without weightlifting, I find very hard to do. And I've talked about this before and with other athletes, they feel the same way. Once you get so like it just takes so much time to be so good at your sport and then to try and find other avenues to do and maintain that balance, I think is why I feel the need to be in school or have something else going on. Cause then I feel like I'm not doing anything, even though I'm lifting, I'm not like progressing at the same rate or doing things that like a normal person would do. And so school just helps me retain a little bit of normalcy, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like much, but yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got a lot going on, so I don't think anyone can blame you. But
sure.
Cool. Yeah, this was great. Really appreciate your time. And yeah, best of luck for the upcoming season.
Of course.
The season.
Thank you so much.
This is the Olympics.com podcast.
Thanks, Scott and Olivia. Well done. What a career already, and certainly more good times ahead with Paris 2024 coming for Olivia Reeves. She's for sure going to be a medal favorite. You want more weightlifting original programming? It is right here for the clicking across our Olympics.com platform. Among the amazing features, Olympic State of Body, weight training with Lydia Valentin. Three-time Olympic medalist Lydia Valentin makes light work of heavy lifts, but it takes a strategic and strict training routine to reach the top and stay there. Spain's weightlifting national hero guides us through her precise process and helps you motivate to be your physical best. Well, that's it for this episode of the Olympics.com podcast. Thanks for being a part of the Olympic community, and make sure to follow the Road to Paris 2024 Olympic qualification process here as well. We'll see you next time.
For more in-depth and original Olympics-related feature content, search our platforms here on Olympics.com.